Vakreshwara Pandit, he's my special potency. When Vakreshwara Pandit dances, even Lord Krishna dances. So, when Vakreshwara Pandit dances, that place becomes just like Vaikuntha. And Devananda Pandit said, he's regretting the past. Just like if we have to have our sins forgiven, to get forgiveness, we have to regret. So Devananda Pandit was a sincere soul, actually. He said, I was such a rascal. I was so hard-hearted. I was so sinful. I had so much bad karma that I couldn't recognize you. I couldn't recognize who you were. You were just the scholar, Nimai Pandit, in the village, in Mayapur. I couldn't recognize you as the Supreme Lord then. Please, you give me guidance. I have no knowledge. I had no knowledge in the past. I was giving classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. I never understood what it was all about. Please, you help me. Actually, I'm not a self-realized soul. And only Srimad Bhagavatam could be understood by a self-realized soul. So I need your guidance. And this way he's holding onto Lord Chaitanya's feet. And he's begging for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So then Lord Chaitanya, he took this opportunity to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course we can speak about Srimad Bhagavatam forever. And but Lord Chaitanya, his main point is that only Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood, interpreted by bhakti or devotional service. He instructed Devananda Pandit, you interpret Srimad Bhagavatam, yes, but only by bhakti, devotional service. The beginning, the middle and the end of Srimad Bhagavatam is only describing devotional service. The conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam have no equal in all the Vedic scripture. There's nothing equal to the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is an incarnation of Krishna. It's actually none different, just like an incarnation, Vraha, or Matsya, or Nisringa. So Srimad Bhagavatam is also an incarnation. If one thinks, if one claims to know Srimad Bhagavatam, then he must be ignorant. If one actually claims, I know Srimad Bhagavatam, then that means actually ignorant of Srimad Bhagavatam. One who is submissive and humble, and he admits Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful, so great, I have a little understanding. I just want to taste a little bit of the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam in that reverential and humble mood. Then, to such a person, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam can be revealed. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, then gradually we can understand devotional service. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, this is Lord Chaitanya, some of the explanations that Lord Chaitanya is explaining about Srimad Bhagavatam from Chaitanya Bhagavata. He said, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of divine love of God. It's none different from Krishna's body. Because Srimad Bhagavatam contains the confidential pastimes of Krishna and describes all the different relationships of love of God. Huh? Yeah, just finish. Don't worry. Just building up. So even Srila Vyasadeva, he was dissatisfied even after, this is what Lord Chaitanya said about Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not saying it. Okay, if you want me to continue, yeah? Should we just finish it up? So even Srila Vyasadeva, he was dissatisfied even after compiling all the Vedic literatures. And only when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, then he became satisfied. So, Devananda Pandit became so fortunate. He fell flat on the ground and he surrendered everything to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now, if you want to be free from this aparad, then I request that now you become a Srimad Bhagavatam reciter. But you recite Srimad Bhagavatam according to devotional service and bhakti. This is my instruction to you. You become a great reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but you describe according to the devotional principle. So, it said that Lord Vrindavan Das Thakur ends this section. He says that Lord Nityananda, who is none different from Sesh, Ananta Sesh, he has 1,000 heads. And he's continuously trying to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam, but he cannot succeed, Lord Nityananda. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur ends, he says that one who hears this leela with pleasure will certainly associate with the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya, directly. One who takes pleasure in hearing this leela of Devananda Pandit, and how his aparad was finished, will get the direct association of the Lord. So, we should remember that if we want to free ourselves from having made a Vaishnava aparad, we should use the same tongue which made the Vaishnava aparad. We should use the same tongue to glorify the Lord and His devotees. This is the only way in which we can free ourselves. We take the same tongue which was so offensive and we make it glorify the devotees and we make it glorify Krishna and devotional service. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Now, there's a question here. Shall I answer? Shall I answer? Yeah.
So when you see that actually they're very difficult to appreciate the lost position. The Vrinda Pandit had to find out and the loss of the process to understand and Lord Chaitanya was revealing the position to the devotees to relieve their minds of doubt. At the same time, we did Gopala Chapala, when he addressed the Lord first, he actually knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He addressed the incarnation, you are the living in all the fallen souls. So my question is, how was Gopala Chapala be able to be, how was he able to be aware of the Lord's position, even though he was such an offender and an envious person?
Question is, how is it that Gopala Chapala said that you are an incarnation of the Lord, but Lord Chaitanya didn't have mercy on him, right? And how was it he didn't, he wasn't free from his sinful reactions because he understood that Lord Chaitanya was the incarnation of God. Actually, Prabhupada explains that in the purport. He says that Gopal Chapal, he only wanted to be free from leprosy. Here, it's explained in the purport. Gopal Chapal says, as an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. I am also a great unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that although Gopal Chapala was sinful, talkative and insulting, he nevertheless had the qualification of simplicity. Thus, he believed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had come to deliver all fallen souls. And he appealed for his own deliverance, seeking the mercy of the Lord. He did not know, however, that the deliverance of the fallen does not consist of curing their bodily diseases, although it is also a fact that when a man is delivered from the material clutches, his material bodily diseases are automatically cured. Gopal Chapal simply wanted to be delivered from the bodily sufferings of leprosy. But Sri Chaitanya, although accepting his sincere appeal, wanted to inform him of the real cause of suffering. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you're suffering because you offended Sri Vrindavan. And then later on, when he came back from Jagannath Puri, he told him to surrender to Sri Vrindavan. So this was Gopal Chapal's simplicity. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Radha Madhava. Yeah. Dialam Vishnupad, Brahmhamsa, Parvadekacharya, Asitara, Shri Sriman, Nisavan Gresha, Bhakti Vedanta Swamira, Srila Prabhupada, Jija, Gaura Premanande, glorious to the Son of the Lord, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text number 25 or 24. Do you read every day? Do you read the verse again? Or is it yes, sir? Shri Parada Vacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmani Vedanam, Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu, Bhagavat Bhaktischen Navalakshana, Kriyeta Bhagavat Yada Tanmane Ditam Uttamam. So Prahlada Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him, in other words, serving Him with the body, mind, and words, these nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So, under Vandanam, Vandanam. Although prayer is a part of deity worship, they may be considered separately like other items, such as hearing and chanting, and therefore separate statements are given herewith. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences, and one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities and various activities offers prayers to the Lord. In this way, he becomes successful. In this connection, the following are some of the offenses to be avoided. A. To offer obeisances on one hand. B. To offer obeisances with one's body covered. C. To show one's back to the deity. D. To offer obeisances to the left side of the deity. E. To offer obeisances very near the deity.
Why Vandana?
Excuse me?
Why Vandana?
Sute.
Vandana Sute.
So this was the place of Archana.
Archana.
That's where we are going. This is a thousand Sevana.
He told me Vandana.
I'm Christian.
We are going to the place, Rituji, that is Archana. And next week is Vandana. Anyway, I mean, this technically says today is Pad. Today is also Pad Sevanam, like yesterday. But this afternoon.
So you can surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, or you can chant prayers.
So we'll read about Archana. Archana. After Padasevanam comes the process of Archanam, worship of the deity. If one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. There are many books for Archanam, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana, deity worship. There are two systems of Archana, the Bhagavat system and Pancharakshiki system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship, because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering, and worship the lotus feet of the Lord. Rupa Goswami states, Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit Avaivad Vayasiki Kirtane Prahlad Smarane Tarangri Vaje Lakshmi Pritu Pujane Akurs Tvavan Avivandane Kapi Patir Dasye Ta Sakye Arjuna Sarvatmana Nivedane Valir Abhut Krishna Tir Esham Param. Parikshit Maharaj attains salvation simply by hearing, and Shukadeva Goswami attains salvation simply by chanting. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembering the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. Especially for householder devotees who are opulent in material possessions, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. An opulent householder devotee who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a miser. One should not engage paid Brahmins to worship the deity. One does not personally worship the deity, but engages paid servants instead, he is considered lazy, and his worship of the deity is called artificial. An opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently for householder devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. In our Krishna consciousness movement, there are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. But the deity worship in the temple should be performed especially by the householders. The brahmacharis can go with the sannyasis to preach, and the vanaprasthas should prepare themselves for the next status of life, sannyas. Grihastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore, if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Generally, householders have children, and when the wives of the householders, and then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in a nursery school. Grihastha devotees must adopt the Archana Vidhi, or deity worship, according to the suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there is the following statement in the Agni Purana. Any householder devotee, circumstantially unable to worship the deity, must at least see the deity worship, and in this way he may achieve success also. The special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. Grihastha devotees should be the actual examples of cleanliness. So many nice instructions. Deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word Namaha. In all the mantras, there are specific potencies of which the Grihastha devotees must take advantage. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha, but if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the result of chanting Namaha many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of Godhead. One must ask then, what is the necessity of being initiated? The answer is that even though chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nevertheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Consequently, special stress is given to the Archana Vidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavat process and the Pancharatriki Vidhi, or process. Deity worship has two divisions, namely pure and mixed, with fruitive activities. For one who is steady, deity worship is compulsory. Observing the various types of festivals such as Sri Janmashtami, Ram Navami, and Narsingha Chaturdasi is also included in the process of deity worship. In other words, it is compulsory for householder devotees to observe these festivals. Now, let us discuss the offenses in deity worship. The following are offenses. A. To enter the temple with shoes or carried on a palanquin. B. Not to observe the prescribed festivals. C. To avoid offering obeisances in front of the deity. D. To offer prayers in an unclean state, not having washed one's hands after eating. E. To offer obeisances with one hand. F. To circumambulate directly in front of the deity. G. To spread one's legs before the deity. H. To sit before the deity while holding one's ankles with one's hands. I. To lie down before the deity. J. To eat before the deity. K. To speak lies before the deity. J. To address someone loudly before the deity. M. To talk nonsense before the deity. N. To cry before the deity. O. To argue before the deity. P. To chastise someone before the deity. Q. To show someone favor before the deity. R. To use harsh words before the deity. S. To wear a woolen blanket before the deity. T. To blaspheme someone before the deity. To worship U. To worship someone else before the deity. V. To use vulgar language before the deity. W. To pass air before the deity. X. To avoid very opulent worship of the deity, even though one is able to perform it. Y. To eat something not offered to the deity. Z. To avoid food, offering fresh fruits to the deity according to the season. To offer food to the deity, which is or even used or for which first class... offer food to the deity, which has already been used, or from which has been given to others. First has been given to others. In other words, food should not be distributed to anyone else until it has been offered to the deity. To sit with one's back towards the deity, to offer obeisances to someone else in front of the deity, not to chant proper prayers when offering obeisances to the spiritual master, to praise oneself before the deity, to blaspheme the demigods in the worship of the deity, these 32 offenses should be avoided. In the Varaha Purana, the following offenses are mentioned. To eat in the house of a rich man, to enter the deity room in the dark, to worship the deity without following the regular principles, to enter the temple without vibrating any sound, to collect food that has been seen by a dog, to break silence when offering worship to the deity, to go to the toilet during the time of worshiping the deity, to offer incense without offering flowers, to worship the deity with forbidden flowers, to begin worship without having washed one's teeth, to begin worship after sex, to touch a lamp, dead body, or a woman during her menstrual period, or to put on a red or bluish clothing, unwashed clothing, the clothing of others, or soiled clothing. Other offenses are to worship the deity after seeing a dead body, to pass air before the deity, to show anger before the deity, and to worship the deity just after returning from a crematorium. After eating, one should not worship the deity until one has digested his food, nor should one touch the deity or engage in any deity worship after eating safflower, or oil or hing. These are also offenses. In other places, the following offenses are listed. To be against the scriptural injunctions of the Vedic literature, or to disrespect within one's heart the Srimad Bhagavatam, while externally falsely accepting its principles, to introduce different shastras, to chew pan and betel before the deity, to keep flowers for worship on the leaf of a castor oil plant, to worship the deity in the afternoon. That means to start your worship of the deity. It's supposed to be in the morning, to start in the afternoon. To sit on the altar or sit on the floor to worship the deity without a seat. To touch the deity with the left hand while bathing the deity. To worship the deity with a stale or used flower. To spit while worshiping the deity. To advertise one's glory while worshiping the deity. To apply tilak to one's forehead in a curved way. That means to put the tilak on of... Well, of course, curved means... Could mean, not straight. It also could mean that to put the tilak on of Lord Shiva. To enter the temple without having washed one's feet. To offer the deity food cooked by an uninitiated person. To worship the deity while and offer bhoga to the deity. Within the vision of an uninitiated person or non-Vaishnava, to offer worship to the deity without worshipping Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. To worship the deity while perspiring. To refuse flowers offered to the deity. To take a vow or oath in the name of the holy name of the Lord. If one commits any of the above offenses, one must read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is confirmed in the Skanda Purana, Avanti Kanda. Similarly, there is another injunction stating that one who reads the 1,000 names of Vishnu can be released from all offenses. In the same Skanda Purana, Reva Kanda, it is said that one who recites prayers to Tulsi or sows a Tulsi seed is also freed from all offenses. Similarly, one who worships the Shalagram Shila can also be relieved of offenses. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that one who worships Lord Vishnu, whose four hands bear a conch shell, disc, lotus, flower, and club, can be relieved from the above offenses. In the Adi Varaha Purana, it is said that a worshiper who has committed offenses may fast for one day at the holy place known as Saukarava and then bathe in the Ganges. In the process of worshiping the deity, it is sometimes enjoined that one worship the deity within the mind. In the Padma Purana, Uttara Kanda, it is said, all persons generally worship within the mind. The Gautamiya Tantra states, for a sannyasi who has no home, worship of the deity within the mind is recommended. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is stated by Lord Narayan that worship of the deity within the mind is called Manasapuja. One can become freed from the four miseries by this method. Sometimes worship from the mind can be independently executed. According to the instructions of Avihotra Muni, one of the Navayogendras, as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one may worship the deity by chanting all the mantras. Eight kinds of deities are mentioned in the Shastra, and the mental deity is one of them. In this regard, the following description is given in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. In the city of Pratishtanapura, long ago there resided a Brahmin who was poverty-stricken, but innocent and not dissatisfied. One day he heard a discourse in an assembly of Brahmins concerning how to worship the deity in the temple. In that meeting, he also heard that the deity may be worshipped within the mind. After this incident, the Brahmins, having bathed in the Godavari River, began mentally worshipping the deity. He would wash the temple within his mind, and then in his imagination, he would bring water from all of these sacred rivers and golden and silver water pots. So we can't exactly imitate the Brahmin. So if our spiritual master asks us to clean the temple, we can't say, Gurudev, I've already done it within my mind. In the same way, we wouldn't accept the prasadam offered to the deity within the mind. He would wash the temple with his mind, and then in his imagination, he'd bring water from the sacred rivers in golden and silver water pots. He collected all kinds of valuable paraphernalia for worship, and he worshipped the deity very gorgeously, beginning from bathing the deity and ending with offering artik. Thus he felt great happiness. And after many years had passed in this way, one day, within his mind, he cooked nice sweet rice with ghee to worship the deity. He placed the sweet rice on a golden dish and offered it to Lord Krishna. But he felt that the sweet rice was very hot, and therefore he touched it with his finger. He immediately felt that his finger had been burnt by the hot sweet rice, and thus he began to lament. While the Brahman was in pain, Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha began smiling, and the goddess of fortune inquired from him why he was smiling. Lord Vishnu then ordered his associates to bring the Brahman to Vaikuntha. Thus the Brahman attained liberation of Samipya, the facility of living near the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyananta Manandasya Gananjana Salakaya Shaksul Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam. Sometimes people, they question, how is it that the form of the Lord within the temple can actually be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We may sometimes question that ourselves, because here the Lord appears to be made of material elements. People sometimes say that God is everywhere. So why worship the deity in the temple? But Prabhupada's response was that if God is everywhere, then why is he not also in the temple? And the Lord, in the form of the Archavigraha, he kindly comes just so that he can accept our worship. Klesho dikatrastesham avyaktisaktisam avyaktihi gatira dukam deha vapir avapyate. That those who are not aware of the personal form of the Lord, although they may try to progress in spiritual life, their advancement becomes, so-called advancement becomes very troublesome. In other words, Krishna's energies are everywhere. There is nothing but Krishna and his energies. And because Krishna is omnipotent, therefore, by his unlimited potency, he can also appear in a form which is visible to our mundane or contaminated vision. Because we are covered by the external energy, therefore we cannot see spirit. Or we cannot see spirit clearly, because actually there is nothing but spirit. But because our vision is limited, therefore our vision cannot perceive the original spiritual form of the Lord. Therefore he comes in a so-called material form, just as there is saguna and nirguna worship. So, worship of the Lord with so-called material qualities, saguna worship, can be done, but actually the Lord has no material qualities. Material qualities meaning, material is simply in our vision. All of Krishna's qualities are all transcendental. So Krishna, by his unlimited potencies, he agrees to appear in a form which is perceivable by a conditioned soul, and in this way the conditioned soul can occupy his senses in the worship of the deity and thereby purify his senses. The example is used of a mailbox. We may paint any mailbox, so many, for instance, the government, I don't know about here, in America, the mailbox is blue and red. So we may decide that the government has put out so many mailboxes, well, why should I spend so much money on postage? Better to make my own box, painted blue and red, and put my letters in it, and therefore, surely they'll go to their destination. But of course, we know our letters will very slowly go to their destination. They'll never get there. Because we have to put it in the box which is authorized by the government. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lies beyond our vision, he has his authorized representative in the form of the deity. Therefore, if we worship the deity according to the authorized rules and regulations, then one day we'll realize that we're actually worshiping Krishna. When I was a new devotee to the Prabhupada, he came to Buffalo. I was the... actually, there was another devotee, Virjan Prabhu, who was the first Pujari there. We had put Lord Jagannath on a... We didn't have so much facilities at that time. The whole temple was about half the size of this building where we are right now. So Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladeva's, Srimati Subhadra Devi were sitting on a shelf. And every day Burjan would ring the bell and then he'd open the curtains and offer some incense to the deity and then close the curtain again. And then we called it bells. So when they asked Burjan Prabhu to explain to me who the deities were, and he wasn't quite sure. And then fortunately, as soon as I moved into the temple, the next day they made me the head pujari. So I was worshipping Lord Jagannath. I wasn't exactly sure who he was, so when Prabhupada came, then I asked him who Lord Jagannath was, just to make sure. And he thought for a few minutes, a few seconds, and he said, oh, he's Krishna. So that made things much clearer. And then later on I found out that Srimati Subhadra Devi was Yogamaya. Balaram seemed pretty obvious. The idea is that Lord Krishna, he's always Lord Krishna, but whether we realize who he is, that depends upon our advancement in devotional service. But by following the rules and regulations, then gradually as we become purified by the mercy of the deity, by the mercy of the holy name, the process of Archana, as explained here, then we can actually perceive Krishna as he actually is. We know the story of the Sakshi Gopal, of the Brahmin who was on pilgrimage with an elderly Brahmin, and he was serving him very faithfully. Therefore, the elderly Brahmin, he offered his daughter in charity to the young Brahmin. But the young Brahmin refused to accept the daughter, saying that I am materially uneducated and impoverished. Therefore, your family will surely object if you offer your aristocratic daughter to me. He said, no, I do not care about my family, what they say. I will offer my daughter. So, if you offer your daughter to me, then let us go before Gopal and you promise. You make your statement before him. Because previously in India, and perhaps even now in the villages, that if someone testified before the deity, then they'd always speak the truth. Because people were not so sinful that they thought that the deity was simply wood or stone. Therefore, the Brahmin said before the deity, I am offering my daughter in charity to this young Brahmin. And then the young Brahmin said, my dear Gopal, you are the witness. If you're subpoenaed, you'll have to come and testify. Otherwise, you'll be implicated in sinful activities. To make a long story short, there was subsequently when the elderly Brahmin went home, one day he called all his relatives together and told them, my dear relatives, I have offered my daughter in charity to a young Brahmin. And they said, what? How is this possible? We will take that dura, which is a poison, his wife said, and poison myself. This will ruin the reputation. This will
reputation of our family. And therefore, all his relatives became very disturbed. His son said, this is not possible. How can we give our sister away in charity to a poor, uneducated Brahmin? Therefore, the elderly Brahmin became very disturbed. But his son said, do not worry, father. If this Brahmin comes, then you just say you don't remember exactly what happened, and I will say the rest. Later on, the young Brahmin, due to the fact that he was thinking that I must go and claim the daughter of this elderly Brahmin, because otherwise he'll become implicated in the reaction of not handing his daughter over to me after promising to do so. Therefore, he appeared at the house and said, my dear elderly Brahmin, why have you not given your daughter in charity to me? And she said, he said, the elderly Brahmin, let me think. I can't exactly remember what happened. And his son stepped up and said, you rascal! You have given my father some poison on the pilgrimage, and therefore you've stolen all his valuables, and now you're coming to take his daughter from him. You rascal! And therefore he chased the Brahmin, threatening punishment. So the Brahmin went to the village, told the story, and all the villagers appeared there. And there was some discussion, and at the end of the discussion, the elderly Brahmin said, he didn't say anything actually, but everyone agreed that if the Brahmin could go and bring the deity of Gopal to act as a witness, then everyone would agree, including the atheistic son of the elderly Brahmin. He agreed, everyone agreed. So this Brahmin went back to Vrindavan to see the deity of Gopal. And there he was talking to Gopal, because if one is very advanced in devotional service, one can even talk to the deity. And he said, my dear Gopal, you're the witness. You must come with me. But Gopal said, my dear Brahmin, he said, I'm a deity. How can I walk? But the young Brahmin said, my dear deity, my dear Gopal, if you can talk, then surely you can also walk. So Gopal thought about it and said, oh, this is very logical. Therefore he agreed, yes, I will go with you, but every day you cook some rice and then you leave it behind you and I will follow behind you. But do not look back. You will know I am following you when you hear the tingling of the ankle bells. The Brahmin and Gopal, they walked back to, what was the name of the place? Vidyanagara. And they came to the outskirts of the city, and suddenly the ankle bells stopped tingling, and the Brahmin looked back and saw Gopal smiling at him. Actually, Gopal originally said, my dear Brahmin, I will come, but I will come in the form of a four-handed Vishnu form, and therefore I will explain what happened. He said, no one will believe you. Even you come as four-handed Vishnu. I said that you're going to come, so you must come. So Gopal surrendered. So he was standing there smiling. The young Brahmin went to the village, and everyone came there and heard the testimony of Gopal. For ourselves, we can hear, therefore, from the authorities that the deity is actually a person. He is actually Krishna himself. Therefore, as much as we surrender to the process as given in the scriptures to deity worship, then Krishna reveals himself to us. And Prabhupada, when he was installing Rukmini Dwargadish in Los Angeles, he told one nice story. He said that
According to how you treat the deity, then the deity will reciprocate. Just like here, Srimati Radharani, I must serve her. Another lecture he said that, not that it should be a big burden. That is right. No, here, Srimati Radharani, I must serve her, I must dress her very nicely, I must offer her very nice food. He said, and then if you surrender like that, then even the deity will talk to you. And he gave the name of one famous devotee whom the deity talked to. And then he said, just like Sanatana Goswami, he was worshipping Madan Mohan within a tree. So every day he was offering Madan Mohan one chapati, dry chapati. And Madan Mohan, he was complaining. He said, my dear Sanatana Goswami, every day just one dry chapati? He said, don't you have even a little salt? He said, Sanatana Goswami said, please, don't complain so much. He said, I'm an old man, I can hardly even move, but I'm simply trying to give you a dry one chapati every day. Please take the chapati and be a little satisfied. Srila Prabhupada said, therefore, Sanatana Goswami, Madan Mohan, he had to accept because it was offered with love and devotion. But then he said, but what is your qualification? He said, the real qualification is bhaktya, your devotion. But what is the value, what is your value, and what is the value of the things that you have? He said, it is nothing. Krishna, kindly take that I have no qualification, I have no devotion, but I brought this to you. And then Srila Prabhupada started to cry. He said, that will do. Don't be puffed up, always be humble, and remember that you're dealing with Krishna. That is my advice to you. So here we find at the end, in Vandanam, a little bit, that the attitude in which we worship the deity is so important. From that attitude, naturally we'll want to follow these rules and regulations. And by doing that, by developing the proper attitude, and by following the rules and regulations, then Krishna will reveal himself to us, and one day we'll actually be able to see Krishna face to face in the form of the deity. That the yogis, they had to meditate for thousands of years, and then they would be able to see the deity in their heart. But here, we come, anyone can come, and not only that we can see the deity before us, but the deity is looking at us, smiling. We are looking at the deity, thinking, oh, is this the deity? Is this Krishna? And the deity is looking at us, thinking, oh, when will this poor conditioned soul wake up and understand things as they are? This process is so auspicious of deity worship. And at the end here it also mentions that there are different forms of the deity, of which one of them is the form of the deity within the mind. Of course, we should understand that worshipping the deity who appears before us as the Arjavigraha is the simple form of worshipping the deity, although it is just as effective. But the difference is, just like for instance, we have the gross body and we have the subtle body, neither of which are ourselves, because we are a spiritual soul. But by our desire, and by the Lord's fulfilling that desire through His energies, we can utilize the gross body or the subtle body in different ways. But it is easier to desire to use the gross body than it is to desire to use the subtle body. The subtle body is much more difficult to control. Therefore, the deity appears before us, especially so at the beginning we can use this gross body and engage it in Krishna's service. I remember when I was a new devotee, and now also, but a little less now. So, and our temple was very small, and there were we had one deity, Katamashi, deity of, looks like Gopal, a Gopal deity, and he was right in the center of the temple. But that's all we had was the temple, and the next room was the kitchen. So you walked into wherever you went was always the same place, because that's all we had. We had a place, a little place upstairs for sleeping. So all day long we had to walk by Gopal. And I knew you were supposed to offer obeisances. So I was thinking, I'm offering obeisances because every time we walk into the kitchen, every time you walk out of the kitchen to go out, everywhere you went you had to offer obeisances. So literally you had to offer obeisances hundreds of times. So I say, oh, I'm tired of this. Because it's hard enough even offering once. I remember when I first came to the temple, walked into the temple, and I saw the devotees offering obeisances, I was shocked. I say, this is barbaric. What are they doing? And then when I learned that I had to do the same thing, it was very, very difficult. Although I was practicing Hatha Yoga, I thought that this was the most difficult posture to get into. But by some practice, I was able to get into it. And then I was thinking, I have to do this hundreds of times a day. This is torture. Standing on my head or putting my foot behind my neck. Oh, that wasn't so difficult. But getting down like that was torture. I remember when Prabhupada was coming, I was so much in anxiety about the process of offering obeisances. I was thinking, the first time I'm going to see Prabhupada, the first time he's coming to Buffalo, I was thinking that I'm sure I'm going to forget to offer obeisances when I see him. For like weeks I was thinking, meditating like that. So Prabhupada was walking down the airport, I remember, and he looked like he was floating. And I was so shocked to see him seeming like floating down the airport. And he was so effulgent that I actually forgot to offer obeisances. But then after some time, it was more out of just being stupefied. Then I remember, oh, you have to offer obeisances. So after some time of practicing, offering obeisances became a little bit easier. But it is easier to offer obeisances with the gross body, which also involves the mind. Anything we do with the gross body, of course, involves the mind. But by practicing offering obeisances with the body, also gradually the mind will submit. And then, for those who are more advanced, the elevators and those who are actually able to travel and travel within the deity, within the heart, therefore, those who can meditate constantly on the deity within the mind, it is actually Krishna who appears within the mind. When we see the form of the deity, by constantly meditating on that form of the deity with our eyes, then gradually we'll remember the deity. And if that remembrance becomes constant, known as anusmriti, then we can also, as this Brahmin did, worship the deity within our mind. But now, since generally we're not on that level, we have to appreciate how nice these acharyas how nice a process they've given us, how merciful these devotees are, these great acharyas, who have installed the deities in so many places around the world, just as we see such a nice temple here, and how, for instance, Srila Prabhupada, all around the world, he's installed a deity so that hundreds and thousands and millions of people can take advantage of this deity this arjuna process, and gradually become purified and elevated to the perfection of life, of pure, unalloyed Krishna consciousness. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Vinod Vihari ki jai. So, what is that? Is Prashanam ready?
Yes, Prashanam.
We'll just ask if there's one question. Yes?
Last time in Bhuvaneswar we installed some deities. So I was talking with some devotees there. So the question came, like, is this deity, the deity we give, the name of the deity we give, or the deity itself, or the temple, are supposed to be eternal?
The question more or less, I guess, is whether the form of the deity that we see with our eyes now, whether that's eternal or not. In other words, when we go back to the spiritual world, will we see the deity there? So there's two ways. One purport I remember Prabhupada said, yes, one who has the vision, he can see the eternality of the deity with all his paraphernalia. So the Lord is not appearing accidentally. But also has been pointed out by Tamil Krishna Maharaj, one verse, which is Brahma Samhita, that explains that this exact form of the deity that we see, of course, this is the archa form of the Lord. When we can perfectly see the form of the deity with our spiritual eyes, then we'll be able to see the actual eternal form of the Lord and of the deity. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipping Lord Jagannath, and he didn't exactly see Lord Jagannath as we see him. He saw Ananda Kumar. So the form of the Lord is actually eternal, along with all his paraphernalia, but that will depend upon our perfection of Krishna consciousness to be able to perceive the eternal form of the Lord, of the deity.
What about sometimes we give names like Radha Parishishwara?
Yes, so as long as Paras is there, he acts as the Ishvara there. Krishna is everywhere. We give names to the Lord according to his pastimes. So even here in the material world, the Lord has his pastimes. So as long as Paras is there, Krishna is the Ishvara, and he's appeared before us in this form to prove it to us. But Paras is not eternal. When he goes back, when the material world doesn't disappear, it's not that his paraphernalia of Paras will remain with him.
Is a form like Nishimadev eternally existing in the spiritual world?
Yes, he exists eternally.
Yeah. One more question.
Yes. What's that?
Cry before the deity, why is it offense?
Oh, crying before the deity doesn't mean out of ecstasy. It means out of lamentation. It's not that you go before the deity and say, my dear, you know, crying before the deity, shouting. More or less it means also shouting at the deity. Could also cry in that sense. But also crying out of material lamentation. You know, you said that you protect, that you carry what I had and you preserve what I had and carry what I lacked, but I walked down the street and someone broke my bicycle. Why did you do this to me? That type of crying is not appropriate. Excuse me? What is it?
She's saying you can do different type.
Crying could be for different reasons. So this is one reason, but are there other reasons?
When crying comes out of natural ecstasy.
You said, what about repentance? If you're repenting.
Yes, that is devotion. That type of. But, I mean, to make a scene before the deity. In other words, probably we can cry before the deity, but it shouldn't be mundane. It should be in relationship to the deity, not out of material lamentation.
Also, sahajiyas cry.
Yeah. Also, it shouldn't be artificial, just like the sahajiyas.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Grandra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koshi Vaishnavinda ki, Namacharya Saridas Thakur ki, Premsekha Hol Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Jyoti Gadar, Har Shivasade Gaur Bhaktivinda ki, Shishti Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Samakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Sinavadip Mayapur Dham ki, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Jamuna Mayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Shamaveda Bhakta Vinda ki jai, O Prema. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi
Krishna. Try to again get further and further understanding. Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes these subjects are difficult to understand, but by reading again and again and again, the understanding becomes clearer and clearer. So, just to begin, from a little bit more of a realized platform, we'll just listen to one or two more of Krishna's qualities. So, let's see. First I'll try to do one by memory and then we'll read one. So Krishna is a genius. Genius means one who can... there's memory, there's different qualities. There's highly intelligent. But this is genius, and genius means one who can refute one's arguments with newer and newer arguments. So the example given in Nectar of Devotion is when Radharani, Srimati Radharani, she came to see Krishna. And it appears that perhaps Krishna, one of Krishna's qualities is also artistic. It means who can dress himself very, very nicely. Krishna has all these qualities. So perhaps on this day, it appeared to Srimati Radharani that Krishna was not dressed so properly. So she said to Krishna, "Where is your dress?" So the word for dress is vas. Because Krishna is a genius, so he knows so many meanings for each word. So another meaning for vas is residence, just like Rajavasi means a resident. So Krishna took it as the second meaning. He said, "Oh, where is my vas?" And he took it as residence. She wanted to know, "What about your dress?" He says, "Oh, my vas, my residence is in your heart." Then Radharani became very upset. She said, "No, I did not say residence. I said vas, dress." Same word though. She said, "I did not say that." So then Krishna took it as the third meaning. The third meaning of vas is fragrance. Said, "Where is your vas?" And Krishna said, "Oh, this fragrance, I've just assumed this fragrance to be associated with you." In this way, Krishna could always has more and more meanings. Another quality of Krishna is that Krishna is very, very grave. Grave means one who doesn't reveal his mind so easily. This is also, it's so interesting how Rupa Goswami went through the scriptures and compiled all these qualities. You can see, even on a material platform, it's quite scientific. All the attractive qualities we may find in any person. You can think, as you hear these qualities, you may think of a particular person who has that quality and is attractive because of those qualities. But as we understand, Krishna is the reservoir of all good qualities. So another quality is grave. So you may think of a person as very grave. And it's actually attractive. He does not reveal his mind. Not that everything on his mind is automatically broadcast. So the supreme example of gravity is in the Brahma Vimohan Lila.
that Lord Brahma had stolen the cows and the calves, and then he came back and he saw that Krishna, with his unlimited opulence, this is Krishna's opulence, was so great that he manifested himself into all the cows and the cowherd boys. And then he realized that I had made a great mistake, that this is not just a small cowherd boy, but this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So naturally in that case, when you offend your superior, then you want to rectify the mistake, and you want to see your superior's reaction. So Lord Brahma began to just offer so many prayers of glorifying Krishna, trying to rectify the situation. So he just started to chant so many prayers, and he kept on looking at Krishna for some reaction, hoping either he would just yell at him and chastise him, or he would just smile, oh, that's okay. But Krishna was so grave that although Brahma, he was shaking and chanting so many prayers, he got absolutely no reaction from Krishna. He could not tell what's on his mind. So Krishna is very grave, a pleasing talker. A person who can speak sweetly, even with his enemy, just to pacify him, is called a pleasing talker. Krishna was such a pleasing talker that after defeating his enemy Kaliya in the water of the Jamuna, he said, "My dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place." So these are the qualities of Krishna, which come under the category of vibhav. We discussed this before, that the nectar of devotion, as Lokanath Swami Maharaj mentioned, the full word, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, indicates the ocean of the nectar of devotion. And as we discussed, the purpose of this book, by describing the different practices of devotional service, is to help one, this is Rupa Goswami's mercy, swim in this ocean, and ultimately to relish the pleasure of the residents in the spiritual world who are swimming in this ocean. We mentioned before, there's some quotes by Rupa Goswami to show the wonderful glories of this ocean. He gives one quote from Sridhar Swami's commentary, Bhavartha Deepaka. That's his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sridhar Swami says that for one who is ever diving and swimming in this ocean of the nectar of devotion and relishing new pleasures in this wonderful ocean, he doesn't care, when he sees any other type of pleasure, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, anything, compared to this pleasure, he sees it as he sees it as no better than the straw in the street. So this is the complete, as Prabhupada said, it's the complete science. So the Eastern Division, we gave a general overview that it gives. Start again. If you translate, maybe just move a little bit back. Easier for me. We gave a little description of the Eastern Division, where it just gave a general description of the varieties of devotional service. Very scientific, the various practices, and what are the different types of devotional service one can perform. And now, here, we're discussing vibhav, which, as I explained before, the Southern Division, this is the next division, has five waves. And each of these waves is a different ecstasy. They're like ingredients. And when all these ecstasies are combined, that's actually called rasa. Rasa means the, as Prabhupada translated, the mellow or taste one has in his service. All the
residents of Vrindavan, they have different tastes, different experiences in serving Krishna. Basically, there's five types. But this describes the different ecstasies that compose those rasas. So the basic cause is called vibhav. It means that which makes the relationship with Krishna capable of being relished. It's like I mentioned, if one may have his relationship may be maternal ras or vatsalya ras. So that which excites it and brings it to the point of relish, that is called vibhav. And vibhav is divided into two divisions. The first division, as Prabhupada translates, the basic cause is Krishna and Krishna's devotee. So the basic cause of ecstasy in Shantaras the would be Krishna as Chaturbhuj Narayan, and the devotee would be the Tapasvi, the ascetic, or the like this in the Dasyaras. It would be Krishna as the master, and there would be his different types of servants, would be the devotees. So by hearing about that, one's affection for Krishna as a servant would naturally be invoked. And it's very scientific. There's different types of servants of Krishna. Just like there's servants that are kuryas. There's servants that are controllers, just like Brahma and Shiva. They're also servants of Krishna. And there are servants of Krishna that are younger relatives. They're also servants of Krishna. Or in friendship. So it would be Krishna at a particular age as a cowherd boy and his friends. That would be the basic cause of bringing out one's affection for Krishna. By hearing about the qualities of Krishna and hearing about his friends like Subal, Sridham, etc. And in Vatsalya Ras, the basic cause of ecstasy, Krishna and Krishna's devotee. So Krishna would be Bal Krishna, Krishna as a child. And the devotees would be his parents or his gurus. That's also Vatsalya Ras, hearing about Krishna, being instructed by Sandipani Muni, or Krishna and his elder relatives. And of course in Madhurya Ras, it would be Krishna, but it would be Krishna Kishore. Just like in the Nectar Devotion, there's actually descriptions of Krishna at different ages. And those particular devotees and particular rasas would be attracted to descriptions of Krishna in different ages. So, of course, in Madhuras, the devotees would be, of course, the gopis and the queens of Dwarka in relationship to Krishna. So that's Vibhav Alamban. Those are the basic cause of bringing out that particular affection, to hear about the qualities of Krishna and the qualities of his particular devotees who have that relationship to Krishna, and the form or object of Krishna for those devotees. Krishna is called the object of devotion, and the devotee is called the reservoir or abode of love. So in each particular rasa, the object of devotion is a little bit different. Like again, we described that. For the one in parental rasa, the object of devotion is Krishna, but Krishna is a baby, a child. So, and there's all different descriptions of their qualities. Now, also, under the basic category of vibhav, or that which, the basic cause of ecstasy, or that which brings one's relationship to Krishna to some relish or taste, is called, there's alamban, which is Krishna and Krishna's devotee. That's the basic cause. And then there are stimuluses, or they're almost secondary, or they enhance. Prabhupada translates it as stimuluses for ecstatic love. For example, so many details about Krishna that can attract one and bring out his affection. For example, for Ramachandra, in Sanskrit it's called Udipan, for Ramachandra, a devotee of Lord Ram, when he sees a monkey, then his affection for Ram may manifest. And for a devotee of Krishna, he may be walking in the forest, and all of a sudden, Dinabandhu, can you do an imitation of a peacock? All of a sudden, a Krishna Bhakta hears the... Can we hear some more peacocks? See, so all the Krishna Bhaktas automatically, by this stimulus of ecstatic love, everyone is feeling so happy. So, we'll go to that chapter and we'll read a little bit about that. It's chapter 26, still under the category of Vibhav, the different impetuses. And it's actually very, very detailed. Srila Prabhupada here gives a summary. For example, there's things like all the different types of ornaments on Krishna. So many details that enhance that basic cause, which is Krishna and his devotee in that particular relationship. For example, there's chitra. Chitra is face painting. So that's decorating Krishna, and see, we look at the deities and we become attracted. And there's, I don't know exactly what it's called, but there's different types of